BIR Radio is mainly an opinion paranormal talk show. All opinions, comments, or statement of facts expressed by BIR Radio's guests are strictly their own and do not represent or to be endorsed by BIR Radio, ASPRN, Paranormal Radio Network, and their affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, this is Brian Fitzgerald from Ghost Hunters International, and you're listening to Para Investigators Radio.
Welcome to PIR Radio. PIR Radio is sponsored by the Peach State Paranormal Society and www.hauntedtube.com. Let's now go get your paranormal radio experience with your hosts, Kurt Smith and Bill Horton.
Alrighty, it's Monday, and you know it's PIR Radio time. Welcome everyone listening live to the show and to all our podcast listeners out there. Hopefully you enjoyed the last podcast that was Searching Bigfoot with Tom Biscardi. It was about a 45-minute show, so it was an interesting show. Hopefully you liked it. If you have any feedback about that show, feel free to email us or let you know what you think about the show. You can do that at our Contact Us page on the PIR website. So check it out, www.pirradio.com. Don't forget, on the front page, you can check out the upcoming show list, links to podcasts, upcoming news and information. We have a little thing for the Facebook fan page, so if you want to be a fan of the Facebook fan page, click like. We'd love to have you as a friend. You can get all kinds of information via Facebook. I think that's the top thing going on right now. As you're aware, Bill will not be with us tonight. He is ill. Bill is ill. Kind of rhymes, I guess. I don't know. Sounds pretty interesting, but it's just going to be me tonight. But we have a great show lined up, so we won't have any paranormal updates from Bill. So maybe hopefully he's doing his case manager job. He always complains that he's not doing a good job, but hopefully he gets better and, you know, gets some cases going. But we have a great show lined up. We have two guests with us tonight. They are from British Columbia, and they're from Northern Paranormal Investigations, so hopefully I said that right. You know, sometimes I get confused sometimes, but I wrote it down though, so hopefully I have it right. But we have Daryl and Nikki on with us. Guys, you with us?
Yeah,
here I am.
How's it going?
Really good. Thanks for having us on.
Oh, we're excited. And as always, before we get started, we always give the microphone to the guests to give out their website information, Facebook, all kinds of goodies, and then we'll do it again at the end of the show too, so they can so people can check them out. So real quick, can you give the listeners out there live and on the podcast your website information, or if you have Facebook, MySpace, Twitter, all those social network sites?
For myself, the website is www.northernparanormalinvestigations.ca. We also have a Facebook page under the Northern Paranormal Investigations, so you're welcome to visit both. Our website's also linked through to a blog site, which to come at any time. I used to have a Twitter account. I'm still working on getting that. Feel free to come by and visit our site anytime.
Awesome. So you guys are from British Columbia. What part of British Columbia are you from?
I'm from Vancouver.
Oh, so are you a Canucks fan?
Oh, yeah, big time.
See, I'm formerly from Colorado, so I'm a huge Colorado Avalanche fan, so I know we have a big rivalry between those two teams.
Oh, definitely.
And I know they're a game away from making it to the finals, so, you know, hopefully they do. They got a great team this year.
Yeah, should be good to see what happens.
Hey, Kurt, sorry to interrupt, man, but I'm going to have to switch. This thing's cutting out.
Okay, no problem, Daryl. Let me know real quick, and I will bring you back on. I'm going to drop you, and when you're ready, let me know, and I will bring you back in.
Okay, will do. Thanks. Be right back.
No problem. While Daryl changes computers, now Nikki, real quick,
yes.
What got you involved in the paranormal? What interested you to start, you know, doing investigations in the paranormal?
Well, I've always been interested in the paranormal since I was a child. I've had ghosts with me. Kind of runs in the family, and eventually I came upon a paranormal chat, and I started talking to a bunch of investigators from down in the States, and I was like, I really need to get into this, And so I looked up one of the local groups and started out with that group. That was just over 2 years ago. And now me and Daryl, we have our own group with a great bunch of people and still doing what we all love doing. Now, and still experiencing ghostly encounters every day, pretty much.
Awesome. Now,
yep.
Now, you had experiences when you were growing up. Did you actually, see ghosts or apparitions? Did you, could you sense them?
I can sense them. I sometimes see them anywhere from kind of shadowy blurs to full out. Right on, looks as real as any other person could be. Touched, pretty much anything and everything. And then also when I was younger, I did have a little bump up against something a little more evil.
Now we got Daryl back on the line. And
okay.
Daryl, you're with us?
Can you hear me okay?
Oh, we can hear you loud and clear.
Oh, excellent, excellent. Okay.
So, now I asked Nikki how she got involved in the paranormal. I'm gonna ask the same question to you. What got you interested? How did you get involved in the paranormal and going on investigations?
Oh, anybody can go back years with that question. Probably started about 20 years back, gotten into tarots, and then after that, I think the main thing was probably experiences after that made. Well, I guess in my own opinion, made a mistake, got involved with the infamous Ouija board, as a lot of people know it. And, it led to some odd experiences. And then beyond that, it was mostly really watching shows such as Paranormal State, Ghost Hunters, stuff like that. And I always had an interest, just didn't realize how far it was or how far it went until I started, looking more into it, reading a bit about it, and then taking the steps to look into my first group.
Now you're the founder of Northern Paranormal Investigations, correct?
Yes.
Now, when you first started in the paranormal, was this the only group you're in, or were you in another group? And then once you decided that you knew what you were liking, that you wanted to form your own group and, go out on your own adventures.
Well, it's not the first group. I was actually out here. There was a group called Vancouver Paranormal. They'd been around at the time that I met them. They had been around for a long time. I joined them, and a bunch of us actually left that group that were in there to form our own due to things that took place, varying differences in opinions and stuff. I decided to leave that one and work on NPI. It was just something because I just looked at things differently than the groups I was in, and I really wanted to get some people together kind of looked at the way I did, but they also had a lot of varying different opinions. So I had a wide range of people that that way when you do investigations, you want as much as many people as possible to like, not in the group, but in opinion wise, to get different outlooks on what's taking place in investigations and stuff like that. So again, it was mostly just a varying of opinions that led me to form NPI. Wow. And I was lucky enough at the time to have a couple of great people help me out. One named Connie Spielinger and Nikki, of course, who's been a tremendous help to me.
Did you find it tough finding members that you could actually think that you can bring a good quality team together? Did you have struggles to where you had to, you've gone through a couple investigators, or the people that you brought in are like the core team that you believe that is will make a good strong team?
The people I have all the members, all my partners in this group are fantastic. They're all actually ex-members of another group that I had been a part of helping form earlier. They all left to join MPI when I had asked them and talked to them. They're fantastic members. You know, I have skeptics, I have sensitives. Myself and Nikki are sensitives. I have, like I said, skeptics, people that believe, people that don't. But we all, you know, we all work in different ways, and it makes for a great team. I couldn't have asked, personally, right now at this point in time, I could not have asked for a better team than what I've got.
Now, before we get you back on, Nikki said that she had some experiences growing up in which, you know, fueled her interest. Did you have any experiences as you were growing up from a child to adulthood?
I had a few. As a child, I know, like, you know, it's not to get into it too much, but the you know, when you bring up UFOs to people, you know, a lot of people question it and stuff like that and look at you a little bit odd. But I guess as a really small kid, that was one of my first experiences with something unexplained. And even to date, I've never forgotten what had happened. And I think everything else beyond that really started after I got involved with using the tarot, using the Ouija board. And, you know, it was just things that shouldn't have happened, odd things didn't make sense. I realized, I guess, more than anything that, you know, there was other things out there, and that's what led me to where I am now, basically. Plus the fact that I started to, be able to pick up stuff that I never knew I was able to do before.
I have to get both of your opinions on the Ouija board. I know, I mean, some people, you know, say it's just a game and nothing really happens. Some people have the feeling that it could open up a portal. I'd like to get both of your opinions on the Ouija board.
Well, my opinion is, like any kind of avenue of trying to contact those that are dead, you're opening yourself up to letting through just about anything. And to me, it can be the board, it can be any kind of way you're trying to contact something. And this goes for even things such as EVP sessions and such. I believe that you're opening yourself up to anything. And I've had experiences with the Ouija board, and it's what you'd call worked, where it's moved when no one's touching it, no one's controlling it, and then you take it down the other way. There's also times when you're controlling it without touching it, and it's like, that kind of takes it to a different level of paranormal, but, and again, that can also lead to bad things coming through. I don't know. It's best just to stay away from it.
What about you, Daryl? Like, oh, sorry. If you're not done, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, like, any game, it never turns out to be just a game. Daryl?
Yeah, well, let's see. How many varying opinions do we have on the Ouija board out there? You know, I'll tell you, from my personal experience with the Ouija board, you know, it came down to a point in time where I guess it led to what, you know, some people would equivalent with a spiritual awakening to a point. I had to break it, get rid of it to actually stop what I was experiencing through it. You know, some people say that there's no harm in it, and some people don't. I think with the sensitives, and whatnot that are out there in the world today, and if they use the Ouija board, it's the same, I guess, as doing a seance on a table, you know, setting a glass and putting a yes, no up on the table, or a Y and an N, same difference. You use this stuff, and really, you know, some people say, well, it opens a portal. Some people say, you know, It opens a way that may allow you to contact who you want to contact, but what is it allowing in beyond that? And other people say, you know what, it's just a game, it's just this. This is, you know, in theory, you know, people have certain opinions, both for and against it. Personally, I'll never go near one again in my whole life if I can avoid it. I don't particularly think necessarily that it's a bad thing. I figure if you're sensitive, then it can cause more problems than what it's worth. But if you're not and you're not affected by it and you can, somebody can have fun with it, if that's what they choose to do, then that's what they choose to do. I know too many teenagers out there in the past that have said, oh, you know, there's no problem with it. And some of them have run into the problems and some of them don't. I think it all depends on the user. You know, when you look at it, it's a piece of wood with a piece of plastic that you put your fingers on, and hopefully it moves. I've seen people can move it with one hand, people that can't move it even if they want to. So, like I said, the opinions are far in between. Like, for me personally, it's just something that I won't go near again.
Now you mentioned that both of you are sensitive. Do you think that's an asset to having... sensitive, like a medium or psychic part of a paranormal team? Some teams, you know, they get into that scientific stuff and don't believe that sensitives and mediums have no place in paranormal, and some groups do, especially my co-host Bill and his group. He's with Tri-County Paranormal. They absolutely believe in the psychic medium being part of a team, and so do I. I think it brings a different angle in. I mean, you have your scientific data, and then you have, you know, that angle right there, the sensitive angle coming in. I think it's a valuable asset. What's your guys' opinion on that?
Well, you know, as for myself, you know, I have multiple sensitives, you know, in NPI. Myself and Nikki, plus there's a couple other ones. I don't know if they're quite as strong as both either myself or Nikki, but they see things differently than we do. They have very different talents. You know, I personally think it's a great asset to have them on a team. I think it's a fantastic way to help center some investigations at times. You know, I've always said for myself, and I try to stick with this, and I ask my, you know, I ask my partners and members to consider the same, is that, you know, no matter what we feel, no matter what we sense, even though it can help center our investigation, you know, we always try to make sure that we have something to back it up, substantial evidence, either EVP, video, something like that. It's one thing to sense it, to know it might be there, to be able to communicate with it, but without anything substantial to back it up, it's just a personal experience. So, yes, do I feel it's a great asset? Absolutely. But, again, you know, there has to be stuff to back it up.
Go ahead, Nikki. I'm sorry. I want to hear your opinion, too.
All right. My opinion is just that it shouldn't really matter, and one of the best things about it is if we're sensing something, we know we can focus all our equipment onto that one area, and chances are we'll get, you know, if we personally feel that something's there, and we have a good chance of then getting it on most likely voice recorder, which is something we usually get quite a few of, and that's a great tool that we have. For us, it's a wonderful tool to be able to use our sensitivities in that way as part of equipment. Other than that, I don't really have too many other opinions on it.
Now, you both said personal experiences, but I'm gonna save that till a little later in the show, because we're trying to get some, you know, basic background information. Now, What kind of equipment do you bring on an investigation? What kind of equipment do you like to use? What's your favorite piece? Let us know.
Well, let's see. As for equipment, we have a DVR system with IR cams. We're actually looking at getting more illuminators to use. We're still always constantly building our equipment. We got two handheld video cameras. I think every member has their own digital voice recorder. They varying in different styles and types. What are the ones we use now, Nikki?
Olympus, and I just bought Olympus WS-400. Highly recommend it.
I think Olympus is one of the top models sold bought by paranormal investigators.
Yeah.
Just because they're easy to use, and you can hook it up to your computer and it's downloaded, and it's pretty simple to use. It doesn't take I'm not very tech savvy, I'll admit it, but it doesn't take a genius to download the file and all that. You just hook it up and it does it automatically, pretty much. So.
Right. It's very user friendly. We also have 3 EMF detectors, excessive IR lights, digital thermometers, at least two DSLRs, and a bunch of regular digital cameras.
Now,
I carry a compass sometimes.
You carry a compass?
Yeah.
Ah, old school. I love some of the old school, a compass, talcum powder. If you want to find where drafts are coming in, you can use a smoke pencil? I believe it's called a smoke pencil. Those are pretty cool. To see if if you're getting cold spots or something, you can see if it's a draft coming in.
Oh, okay.
I actually never considered that.
Something interesting to try.
Like especially around windows or something, because people don't have the thermal camera, because you can tell if something's leaking. You can have energy efficient people come out and they can check your windows to see if you're leaking anything. So it's just an inexpensive way to try to find if you have a leak, or if you're seeing a draft or a cold. If it's warm and all of a sudden you're feeling a cool breeze or something, you can check where that is. It's old school. I learned that from an old buddy, Tim Shaw. I miss Tim Shaw. Haven't I?
Yeah.
Huh.
Well, we don't I don't think we have a smoke pencil yet, but that would be something I'll have to look into. I actually never thought about it. I've had people actually tell me a small candle works too. Just light it and blow it out.
True.
That'll tell you where the smoke's traveling to.
Absolutely.
So there's multiple ways of telling about drafts and stuff. We found that the Mels, which we have two of them now. The other one is what, the K3, Nikki?
K2.
Yeah, K2.
You have the Melmeters?
I have two. We have two of them now.
I love them. I have
Nikki's is a little more up to date than mine, but they're fairly new.
I have one of the older ones.
They work really well. I've been impressed with them. They have the ability to not only detect, at different EMF fields, but or levels for that matter. But you can also go Tesla or micro Tesla or milligauss, and it also has the ability to do ambient temperature, where most of our point temperature devices are just point and click, and wherever the laser hits is what you read. Mm-hmm. They come in handy if you get a cold spot on a couch or a wall or something like that, but the ambient one works really well as well.
Now, it sounds like you have a huge arsenal of equipment out there. Of all the, and we're going to do this before break, with all the equipment, what's your most favorite piece that you like to use, and what piece of equipment has captured your most, where you think it's the best piece of evidence that you've captured so far?
I would have to say probably the Olympus. The recorder, 90% of the stuff that we catch is always a lot of it's on the recorder. Very rarely have we caught video stuff. I have to admit, I like using the video. I like using the MELs. It gives you a good idea of where the fields are. So I do like using those. But I have to say, by far, the digital recorders have proved the best for us so far in what we do, because they're so sensitive. You get somebody just clearing their throat half, 25, 30 feet across the room, and it picks it up. So it has proven a huge asset for us.
Yeah, I love the digital voice recorders, especially since that's something we always get some really good hits on.
and I post in the chat room. I hate watching DVR. I mean, that's I don't mind. I love listening to doing audio work, but watching DVR can be so tedious. It's sometimes just can get so boring, I guess.
Yeah.
That's well, let's see, how many times have I fallen asleep doing that? Wake up, oh god, I gotta go back an hour.
Yeah, it can be pretty boring.
I'm pretty bad about it because I was in Waverly Hills in 2009.
Nice.
And I still haven't watched that DVR footage because I've been putting it off for the last 2 years. That's pretty bad procrastination. Cause I'll go through the audio and the photographs, but I just can't watch. I don't know. I'll take my camcorder and watch, make 30-minute videos or something like that, but watching 8 hours of four screens of cameras or whatever. I don't know. I just can't do it.
Well, and I find that hilarious because you look at people that have four screens of camera and it's like, oh my god, I got 24 hours of video to watch, and you get these people that say, oh yeah, we have 16 cameras running. Well, how the heck do you get through all of that?
Lots of coffee and Red Bull.
Yeah,
or those 5-hour energy drinks.
Oh yeah, sure. I think the other thing is, and you happen to mention it, was the pictures, the stills, the still photographs on the digital cameras, whether it be film, whether it be digital or not. I think those are great because, when you're picking up stuff, sometimes you just capture something in a still that you're just not going to get anywhere else, and I find it incredible sometimes that the amount of stuff you do get on a still. Even if most of it can be written off, you're just not seeing it with your eyes.
And still, I mean, I've taken 5,000 photographs, and I still haven't captured anything paranormal. I mean, and that's going to lead into my question after break is orbs. But don't say anything yet, though. Don't say anything yet, though.
I can just say dum 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 dum.
but hold that thought. We're going to take a real quick break. If you both can hold on real quick, that'd be awesome.
Yeah,
I'm just going to go get a drink.
Awesome. Alrighty, everyone, you're listening to PIR Radio tonight live on the PRO Radio Network and the PPRN Radio Network. I know the little disclaimer, I haven't changed it yet. I procrastinated that for a year now. It says ASPRN, but it's PPRN now. So we'll be right back. And don't forget, tonight's guest is Northern Paranormal Investigations. And don't forget to check out their website, www.northernparanormalinvestigations.ca. We'll be right back after these messages.
PIR Radio will be right back after these messages.
Haunted Voices Radio Network welcomes our newest affiliate, Pro Paranormal Radio Online, helping to bring you the best paranormal experience. Check out Pro today by going to ParanormalRadioOnline.com for showtimes and a chat area to chat with other paranormal listeners. While there, check out the Encore shows where you can listen to many different shows and hosts and their podcasts that you may have missed during the week. Check out live shows and special broadcast shows that are live on location with special events. All of this and so much more can be found on ParanormalRadioOnline.com. It's about the paranormal, and it's all here for you. Once again, Haunted Voices Radio Network welcomes our newest affiliate, Pro Paranormal Radio Online. Check them out today. And as always, thanks for listening to the Haunted Voices Radio Network.
Are you a paranormal radio show host? Your podcast not getting enough hits? And you want more? There is a brand new solution for you. A free podcast directory for your paranormal listening needs. Visit Parapods at www.parapods.com. That's www.parapods.com.
And now, back to your regularly scheduled program on PIR Radio.
Yes, we are back with PIR Radio tonight. Don't forget, check out our website, www.pirradio.com, and you can get all the updated information, news, show schedules, past guests. There's even a news. You can get news on there, paranormal news. Bill put that on there. So check it out when you get a chance. Tonight's guest, we have Daryl and Nikki from Northern Paranormal Investigations, and they're out of British Columbia, so we're excited to have them on. And they're still on with us, so I haven't chased them away. I guess I'm doing something right tonight.
takes a lot more than to scare us.
But hopefully they're having fun and they're going to get a paranormal radio experience they won't forget. I'm having fun. You know, we're back into our, last week we had Bigfoot on, but I love doing the shows with the paranormal guests on. That way you learn, having different groups on, you get to learn on, their techniques and their styles and hear, their stories. And it's great. So I'm back in my niche. I don't know the word. It's one of those weird words, but I'm having fun. And hopefully Daryl and Nikki are too. But before we went to break, we were talking about equipment, and we talked about the still camera. And, I have to – it's one of the questions that I always ask. I used to ask quite a bit because I think it's one of the most controversial pieces of evidence that people capture when it comes to paranormal investigating, and that's orbs. And you can be honest, I'm honest. I absolutely don't like orbs. I don't think it's paranormal evidence, but, that's my opinion. But I'd love to hear your guys' thoughts on orbs.
Daryl, you want to go?
Well,
I have lots to say on it, so I'll wait.
Okay, well, basically, when it comes to orbs, I can say this right off the bat. Since meeting Nikki, I've learned a lot about orbs, which I never quite knew. Or really even wondered if I ever would know. But I have done a bit of reading up on it since I've been introduced to them and stuff like that, and since I really started taking a closer look. And strictly speaking, 99.999% of them, that are caught, they can be written off because – there's so much dust and so many things out there that can cause, a reflection, whether it be dust, whether it be water, mist, whatever it is, bugs, you name it. They can all cause it, and they can all look like what a lot of people think are orbs. I have caught a few on photographs, and people have looked at me and said, this is a reflection, this is this, this and that, and really I have to agree with them. There's only been ever one that I've caught so far that I can't explain, and it looks like a ball of light energy. Nikki has seen it. I've showed it to a few people, and everybody just goes, "What the heck is that?" It's the only one out of all my time that I've ever caught that I can officially say I have no idea what the hell it is. Whether some people say it's a spirit. I don't agree with that. I think it's energy. The simple fact is, like the old saying goes, everybody and everything is made of energy, and energy cannot be destroyed. It can only be changed, transferred, altered. It still exists. It never stops existing. So, what is the energy and where is it from? Don't know. Lots of theories on it, but truly, we don't know. So my thoughts are basically that I'm very hard and beginning to get harder to convince, when somebody shows me and says, this is an orb. I will question it until a lot of people get a little tee off. Because like I said, it's just something that it's very, very difficult to prove.
All right, it's your turn, Nikki.
All right. Personally, I don't think orbs are worth giving a second thought. I personally believe that if you do happen to catch what can be called, like, a real orb, is energy, and not necessarily that energy comes from a dead person, so I don't even think it is paranormal at all. And as far as what most people catch in their cameras is just either your dust, light refraction, be it off the dust, off moisture in the air. People always take pictures in cold climates, and they're like, oh my gosh, look at all these ghosts wandering around. It's like, no, it's just the air. They just irk me beyond belief, and I wish people would forget they existed. And that's just my story, and I'm sticking to it.
And now I'm just joking. Now the rest of the story. now, talking about evidence, though, I mean, you know, it leads into evidence. How stringent are you guys that when you go through your evidence review to classify something as paranormal? You have people out there that are really quick, and, you know, they can't, you know, when they put it out there for peer review, they get upset because, you know, they get the honest truth, and then, you know, that was me. I'll admit it, when I first started, but then I realized, you know what, I'm new at this, you know, I have, you know, let them, you know, explain to me, let them hear, you know, show me or tell me what they think, you know, and have an open mind. I'll admit I was closed-minded when I first started doing paranormal investigations, but, you know, doing the radio show and just talking to a whole bunch of people, I've learned to be more open-minded when it comes to peer review of my evidence. And when I, you know, I want to get people's opinions. And how stringent are you guys when it comes to evidence? And do you post it for peers to review? What's the policy of NPI?
You first, Nikki.
Well, I think we're pretty very particular on what we consider actual evidence we might have captured. We do run it through all of us, and if we can't hear it clearly on a computer, through computer speakers and not through headphones, and you can't hear it, you know, you have to be able to hear it light as day before we will consider it as something unexplained. As for doing peer review within our team, it can be very hard when you're absolutely convinced you can hear something, or you hear something on your really good headphones and you hear it and you can hear it, but then it's just too quiet to use as evidence, and you're like, oh, why? That's probably one of the most frustrating things. Daryl?
What we try to do, Kurt, is basically after we've gone through, everybody in the group has gone through their evidence, we get everybody to put it in a specific spot so we can get at it on our own systems, our own computers and stuff. And then basically, whether it's video, personal or otherwise, we try to keep everything written down. I ask everybody, all the members, to come over, and we all sit and we go through it. And there might be, you know, I know it sounds odd because a lot of people go, wow, you capture that much. You know, sometimes we might get 20, 30 EVPs, or more that are caught over a series of, you know, how many digital recordings. And, of course, some of them are duplicates because we might have multiple recorders, but we figure that out. And, you know, everybody sits down, all of us, and we sit there and we listen to each one individually. And it takes us usually 5 or 6 hours to go through just the EVP. We question it, and if there's anybody at all that questions it, says, no, I don't believe it, I don't, you know, there's something that's not right about it, or whatever, it doesn't go to the client. We are very particular about what we give back to the client. And if we have to go back to a place to try to recreate this sound, to try and recreate the photograph, which I've done, to try to, you know, debunk what we caught, if that's what it takes, then that's what we will do. We make sure everybody's has voice prints so we know at the beginning of a session who was there and who might have said what. And I will always contact the people if there's something, if there's a question, and say, you know what, who said that? Can you tell me if that was said? Or I'll have people listen to it. So, you know, between myself and everybody else, you know, we make sure that if we can't figure it out, then it's something that will take, and it's clear, it'll be something that we take back to the client. Even if it's something that they can write off and we can't, we still give it to them because that way we know at least they can write it off. But it takes a lot for us to consider it and say, you know, that's something that we just cannot explain, period.
And I know we're talking about evidence. What about personal experiences? You mentioned that earlier in the show, and I didn't want to get too much into it. Do you think personal experiences should be included as evidence, like if you're doing a residential or I think you can talk about personal experiences, but if you don't have, you know, evidence to show that something happened, I mean, it's just going by word of mouth. And you know what happens when you tell stories by word of mouth. It's, you know, if you say it over 100 times, you're not going to say the same story every time.
Yeah, that's true. As far as personal experiences, this is one reason why we try to stick to the same program of having more than one person in on any particular area of an investigation or EVP session. If something does happen, you always have the other person there to say, okay, I saw that or I didn't see that. If the personal experience is something that, you know, has matched what either that somebody has told us from either before the investigation, and I don't necessarily sometimes tell everybody in the group what's been told to us, because, you know, you don't want people knowing everything sometimes, because then they might be legitimately trying to look for that and seeing something that may not really be there. So, you know, we will sometimes offer our personal experiences up to people, but at the same time, at least for me, I always tell the client, you know, or I try to, that, you know, yes, we've had these personal experiences, but we really don't have anything substantial to back it up. So again, it's just a personal experience, and that's all. We don't, like I said, normally we have to have something to back it up.
Okay. Now, you know, talking about your group, and we got the basic information, you know, do you guys mainly do, when you go on investigations, do you mainly do house investigations, or do you do historical locations? What do you guys prefer to do?
Nikki?
I think we're kind of varied within our team members. Most of our investigations are historical. We're trying to get more residential because I believe our team has a lot we can offer people out there that need the help. I personally like residential just because it's more personal, and you can really help someone and make them feel a lot better about whatever situation they're in, be it paranormal or not.
Now, talking about historical places, I don't know much historical up in Canada. I'm sorry, I apologize. But the only thing I can think of, you know, if I'm wrong, let me know. Think of like old gold mines up there, or gold camps. Is there any camps up there, or, you know, mining areas? That's something I can think of. I don't know much about the area. I apologize.
Well,
okay.
No, that's okay. There are, of course, lots of, you know, old logging towns, mining towns that are around. Yeah, they exist. It's not easy to get to a lot of them. We have buildings around here. Now, mind you, BC is relatively young in considering if you go from, you know, the East Coast to here. But, you know, we've been in buildings that, go back over 100 years. That's a fair ways back. We've been in at least one of the oldest buildings around here at one point. And it was fantastic. It's actually burned down twice, you know,
wow,
in its history. And it's had different things happen. So we do have a history. There's a lot of varying histories out here in BC. And I think it's just a matter of, continuing to look for them and seeing what's around.
Now, with BC being so young, how do the people react, you know, when you say that, hey, I do paranormal investigations? Does the general public accept that? Or are they kind of freaked out about that?
I'll let you handle that one, Nikki.
Oh, thanks.
You're welcome.
It kind of depends on which area I live around here. People vary. And in the area I'm in, most people think it's really cool. I'm also in a very open area and in a location downtown that is close to a lot of haunted buildings. And so most people down here secretly have had experiences. They just don't generally tell other people about it. A lot of people think it's cool. They think it gives them a chance to maybe tell those stories and say, oh, hey, this isn't quite as taboo as it once was. We can maybe start talking about it. And I think in the area where Daryl lives, it's probably a little bit more, I don't know, is it just as open there, people there?
I think it's depending. Sometimes it is, sometimes it's not. I run into people that are willing to talk about it. I pass them the card, and they look at it and go, no flippin' way. Oh, cool, let's talk. And I get other people that don't give a card a second look, and you look later and it's on the ground. So, it you know, people just, it really varies. And I think anywhere you go, you know, with the diversity of people and cultures that are out here and that are continuing to grow, you have to be really careful certain things on how you approach certain people, and whether you actually want to approach certain people, because you know, it just varies between cultures and religions and everything. It just varies so much. But I figure it this way, you know, if you're going to approach somebody, or if they're going to approach you, there's usually a reason why they're approaching you. If we approach somebody, if I get a negative feedback from it, then that's fine. That's their opinion. They're more than, you know, welcome to their opinion. And I respect that from anybody. And, you know, we just do our best to deal with what comes our way.
Now, I had a great discussion earlier on Facebook today with a buddy. I won't say their name, but, and I think I agree with her. She says, it seems like here in the I don't know what it's like up in Canada, but here in the States, it seems like the paranormal, you know, the high that everyone is on with everyone forming a group. I mean, it seems like it's settled down. I mean, you're seeing a law in paranormal investigating. Do you see that up in Canada, or are you seeing a boom?
I think it's still kind of starting up here. It's we're a little behind times here, so it's just starting to get where there's more groups out here in the past couple months, and it probably won't last as long as it did in the States. It's still pretty good up here.
And it's like I think we're seeing a lull because it's like television. You can hate me for it, but I'm not very much of a fan of the TV shows. Just because I've been on investigations, and I just think they sensationalize it a little bit more than what they should. I think that's just my opinion. And some of the shows are just, I think they're not on topic all the time, and it's just
right.
You get bored of the you know, the same thing. You want to see something new. I mean, Ghost Hunters was great when it first came out, and then, you know, you got a lull. And then you had Paranormal State. Okay, it was fine when it first came out, but some of the stuff they did, and some of the cases they had, you know, the storylines, it just became boring. Ghost Adventures
right.
were fine when they first came out. Now, you know, I think they're going away, and then they had the Ghost Hunters Academy. I think, personally, the TV is not the way to go for a paranormal group.
One thing we're lucky for, kind of, I think so, up here in Canada, one of the channels that does not broadcast in Canada is Sci-Fi, so we actually don't get as much of the paranormal shows broadcast on television up here. a lot of them you have to watch online. Same as, so it's not quite as, the paranormal scene hasn't infested us quite as much yet up here.
I think educating and, getting, going to the local library and educating the public, and showing them what exactly happens, and let them, I think there's too much drama on TV, everyone wants to be on TV, everyone wants to have their TV show, so they're losing, I think they've lost focus on what the paranormal field is. That's just a personal opinion.
Yeah, our team doesn't really want anything to do with that kind of stuff.
I wouldn't look good on TV anyway.
We do meet and greets and stuff like that. Like we have a meet and greet coming up a couple weeks before Halloween. But it's I prefer to do those than anything else. In any way of meeting or allowing people to get to know us and allowing people to see what really takes place. Because you're right, TV does sensationalize a lot of stuff. I watch Ghost Hunters, I watch Paranormal State, I watch Psychic Kids, I watched all that stuff. But then again, TV is TV, right? TV is out to make a buck. That's what they want to do.
And I know I'm not going to
get matter whether it's live or not. They're not out there to not make money.
I know I'm going to get a lot of guff too for the next one. It's like, these paracons. I think I don't understand. Maybe I'm. I don't know. I can't say I'm blonde because I've lost all my hair, but. I just don't get, you get the same speakers, you get the same presentations, and you're paying an outrageous amount of money to go to these speakers, and then you're paying even more to go on these investigations. I just don't get it. I think there needs to be something new or something fresh to make the paranormal field advance more. I don't know what I don't have the answer to it, though.
No.
I don't think too many people really do. I think given some time, for the most part, a lot of these groups have popped up. They've popped up. I think part of the pop-ups have been due to Ghost Hunters, due to the stuff that's on TV. Like, Ghost Hunters are a great group, no doubt about it, but for what the TV has done for everybody across the board has allowed everybody to come up and go, wow, I can do that. And when you get into it, it's really like, wow, when you realize the cost is all your own and mm-hmm. and everything else, a lot of people go, whoa, okay, this is costing me a lot more than I thought. You get some groups out there that say, we have thousands of dollars equipment. So do we if you start adding it all up.
True.
I think given some time. I think the groups that are going to stick around are going to be here for a while will be here. And, the other ones will either come and go. And I think there'll be a leveling out at some point. And then, in some way, the paranormal field will gain some strength again from that, I think.
Yeah, I think it's in that phase where it's going to be whittling out, all the glory seekers, and you're going to have the people that are going to stick it out, and the true investigator they're going to stick with it.
Yeah, I agree.
But not to go off on a tangent. Hopefully, I didn't. But this is one question we love to ask, and I know our time's winding up. We got about 6-7 minutes left before we have to get off the air. But this is always one of our favorite questions to ask, either myself or Bill. Just depends on where we are on the show. And we always had a prior show host with us, Michael. I have to contact him. I miss my buddy Michael Cole from Mission City Paranormal. He's out of San Antonio, Texas. But he always asks the guest, if money wasn't an issue and you could get into any place in the world, where would you want to go investigate and why? And I'll get Daryl's answer first, and then we'll hear from Nikki.
Oh wow! I guess I really haven't put a great deal of thought into where my ultimate place to go. I think for myself, at this point, if I didn't have to worry about anything. I guess in the ultimate thing, I'd love to be able to go over to Europe and investigate some of the places in Europe, Scotland, Ireland, stuff like that, just because of their age. you know, I'd love to be over, go over there. But for here in Canada, for myself, you know, I think I'd love to be able to get into what they call Riverview. It's a mental hospital out here. Part of it's still operational, but they have a huge reputation for paranormal activity in some of the buildings there. And I think for myself here, that's where I'd like to go. If I had a chance, I'd go back east, somewhere in Ontario, and look into some of the old forts. But I haven't really thought about any particular one place, so I have a hard time answering that one.
And what about you, Nikki?
My answer isn't too much different from Daryl's. I don't really haven't given it too much of a thought. Yeah, I'd love to go over to Europe as well, but I don't know any specific locations. I haven't studied too many areas over there that do have the history. As Daryl said, getting into Riverview, that would be one thing I would definitely want to do, especially what's called the Crease Clinic there. The stories that you hear from people that film there are just crazy. And especially being a sensitive, I would definitely, that's one place I'd want to go.
And you didn't say Europe, but you know what? Europe, it seems to be the popular place, though, and you're right with the age, you know, how old everything is over there.
Yeah.
I think it'd be fun, you know.
It would be neat. I just don't know specific spots over there.
Like I said, if everyone, like the Powerball jackpot of like $300 million, I'll take me. I would charter a plane with me and all the people that have been on PIR radio, and we'd fly around the world just going investigating.
Yeah.
If I could do that, I'd be gone in an instant.
Absolutely. I have to admit, I haven't been on an investigation in 2 years since my daughter's been born, so I'm kind of jonesing for an investigation.
Aw.
Well, the daughter is well worth the break.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well worth it.
Good answer.
Our miracle baby. As well.
Oh, very cool. Well, we're working on a few things that we got coming up. We got a theater coming up that we're doing down on White Rock here, just actually north of the border. You know, and that one, apparently, they had ashes of somebody buried underneath the stage. So,
wow.
We're kind of looking forward to getting into that, which is coming up at the end of the month.
Cool.
You know, we got, a few other places in mind, that we're looking into, and we're hoping to get some really good investigations going up here in the next year.
I have to ask.
Of the places are really hard to get into, but it's a continual work in progress.
You just answered my question. I was going to ask. Here in the States, it seems like, you know, maybe it's me. Maybe I'm a bad case manager or something. But do you find it troubling to get into some places to let you do an investigation? And you said some places are hard.
Some places.
Well, there's a place like, for instance, it's the city of Tranquil, and it was a tuberculosis center at one point in time for cases up here in northern British Columbia. You know, so many people are vying to try and get into this place. And really, you know, I've contacted them a couple times already and been given no twice. So how many times can they put up with people contacting them? But it's you know, it's an ongoing thing. And I don't think it's a matter of them not wanting groups in. I think it's just a matter of safety sometimes in certain cases. In other cases, again, with... you know, you look at around here, and there's a great deal of natives around here, and the native community is also a difficult one to try and get into to do investigations for. It's not that they don't want to; it's just they're careful about, you know, what they do and who they allow in and stuff like that. And that's fantastic, because I think, you know, when anybody's considering any group for an investigation, they've got to be careful about who they bring in, do their homework, and look carefully at, and make sure you're completely comfortable with the group that you choose, no matter who it is. Be comfortable with them. But yeah, it is difficult. You know, that you get down to the residentials, and it becomes even more difficult, because people are, you know, they don't call you because they have Casper the Friendly Ghost.
True, and if Bill was here, he's the case man. He does some of the case manager for the group that he's in, and, you know, he always talks about the cases that he's involved in, and what goes on, what he has to do. So It's just thought I'd ask because it seems like when I try to get into places, I got no quite a bit. Because maybe the way I'm asking, you know, I try to be as professional as possible, but maybe I need to pick Bill's brain a little bit more. He can help me out.
Well, it also depends on the type of place. I know here there's a lot of, again, kind of what Daryl was saying. They're very extremely particular on the type of people they want in sorry, I had some examples, but due to confidentiality reasons, I can't really give them now.
No problem.
You know, sometimes we call up people, and they're like, what? Yeah, nope. Sounds awesome. We're totally into that. And probably for every one that you say that you get a yes from, you get 7 no's. But you just keep going. And
you can't get frustrated with it.
No.
No, because I think we're here for the long run. And you know, I'm as happy to sit and wait as I am to get into a place to investigate, because, you know, the longer I wait, the longer we're around, the more investigations we're going to get.
True, and that's a great philosophy too.
Well, we just try our best to do what we do, and again, it's a reputation too, right? If you get a great reputation, and you know, people will back you up, and people will say, yeah, you know, they're great. Have them in, recommend them, and other groups can recommend you. That's an important thing. But again, everybody do their homework.
Absolutely. Now, I have one off-topic question, and Aaron will probably kill me, but we always give Aaron a hard time. She's been on, and we've had guests on from Ottawa, and we had Paul Shishi. We've had an ongoing interview with him about his UFO encounters, and he always goes A. And we had and I forgot to ask Sylvan Hainer. He was on the other week talking about chemtrails. But is there a difference between Eastern and Western Canada? Do they say A more on the Eastern side compared to the Western side, or is that all of Canada thing?
I think it's more of a Mideast to East.
I just thought I'd had to ask. I mean, you know, I know Aaron's going to kill me out there.
I actually had a conversation with Aaron before I got on here. We talk to Aaron and Justin all the time.
And they're great. We had Aaron on. We're going to have Justin on. We had him scheduled on, but I fell ill. We have Justin lined back up to have him on July 11th, and we're excited to have him on. And it seems like, I mean, we've had quite a few guests from Canada, and we enjoy them. It's different. I mean, Paul, I take some of the archives down. Maybe I'll post it back up. You know, put his story, his other. I think it took 3 of the 4 down, but maybe I'll put it back up. If you get a chance, listen to his story. He's been telling a story since we started back in 1967.
Oh wow!
So it's been an interesting show, but I mean, you know, I'm going off topic here, but I thought I'd ask that question. You know, I was just curious.
Right.
She's right, though. Mostly back east is kind of where the A came in when you're talking about either the Newfoundland or Cape Breton or Nova Scotia or PEI, any of the provinces out there. They all talk really quick for the most part that I've learned in my life. But then again, my mother's from out there, so you know she. She never really did say A, but for some reason I picked it up. But I think it's generally a Canadian thing, but it seems to be more east than west.
A. well, time flies when you have fun, and hopefully in the future we can have you back on and get an update on some of your investigations and what we like to do also is when we have a group back on is maybe we can play some of their favorite EVPs, get the story of where they captured it, and we love playing EVPs on PIR radio.
Nice.
We would be more than happy to come back on at any time. We'd look forward to it. That would be great.
Awesome. Yeah. But before I let you go, though, I mean, I'm gonna give you guys the microphone so you can give out any of your contact information, websites. If you want to give a shout out to anyone, I mean, the microphone is all your guys's.
Nikki, go for it.
Thanks. So yeah, you can check out our website at www.northernparanormalinvestigations.ca. We are also under the same name on Facebook, and there's a link to our blog on our website. Please feel free to check out any of those. And yeah, that's all I got. And I just want to say it's been great being on your show, and thanks for having us. Daryl?
Yeah, I have to say the same, Kurt. Although we missed him, thank you very much for having us on the show. It's been great. I'd like to say, really quickly that I like. Pardon me?
Oh, I didn't say anything. I was listening.
Oh. anyway. Yeah, I guess I'd like to say thanks to everybody, and I guess mainly for me is thanks to all my partners and members of NPI, because without them, really, NPI would not be what it is. I've had a lot of people help me out. If you guys check out the blog site, it was put up and run by a lady named Caden McLeod. Take a look at her site, follow it through. You might find her rather interesting to check out. In general, everybody that's helped me and Nikki and everybody make this group the group. Come and visit our site anytime, and we look totally forward to coming back and being on the show again down the road, and hopefully by then we'll have some really interesting EVP for you.
Awesome. And real quick, one more time, what's your website?
www.northernparanormalinvestigations.ca.
Awesome. And you know what? I'm probably going to do the podcast tonight. I'll get that up tonight and shoot you guys an email, because I'm sure a lot of people want to hear it. I felt bad because last Monday's show didn't get posted till yesterday. That's how bad I was.
No worries.
But I'm not going to procrastinate on this one because I wasn't too sure about last week's show, but this week's show, it's more of my niche. And Bill missed out on the fun, you know? Bill missed out.
So yeah.
I'm going to have to rag him about that. And hopefully Lori give him a hard time too.
Well, but maybe there'll be a next time.
Oh, there definitely
hopefully.
There will definitely be a next time, hopefully. And I think so. So feel free to check us out live. And we really appreciate you being on, and I'm gonna go ahead and let you guys go, and I'm gonna sign off here. So thank you guys again for coming on, and we really appreciate it. And I'll shoot an email with the podcast link in it too.
Oh, okay, great. Thanks.
Thank you, Bill.
You're welcome, guys. You have a great night.
Thanks, Kurt.
You're welcome.
You too, Kurt. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Alrighty, everyone. What a great show. I thoroughly enjoyed talking to Daryl and Nikki, and hopefully the people in the podcast land will like it too. And thanks to all the people live in the chat room over here in PRO with Lori, Aaron, Justin, and Nikki, and hopefully over there at the People's Paranormal Radio Network too. They enjoyed the show, and don't forget, you can get our podcast on iTunes, Planet Paranormal, and it should be up sometime tonight already, folks. Don't have any updates with Bill. He's still feeling ill. Bill is ill. Maybe we'll give him a hard time next week. Oh, next week's guest is Maureen Seberg. She is an author, so it's going to be an interesting show. So we will see you next week. Good night, everyone. Keep it paranormal, as Bill would say. Keep it paranormal. I can't sound like him, but hopefully Nikki and Daryl got a paranormal radio experience they won't forget, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to PIR Radio. Come back every Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern on the ASPRN Radio Network and the PRO Radio Network to get the very best in paranormal radio on the Internet. Please visit our website at www.pirradio.com. PIR Radio is sponsored by the Peach State Paranormal Radio Network and www.hauntedtube.com.